Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel, and welcome to Higher Ground. We're going to be talking today about winning over worry. We are living in difficult times, and there are people who are worried about many things: financial reverses, health challenges, relationship challenges, vocational challenges. Jesus does not want his children to worry. So come with me and learn how to win over worry. I'm Barry Black, and welcome again to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. If you're going to go to the next level in spiritual excellence, you need to win over worry. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25, our blessed Lord had this to say about winning over worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, verse 34 says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This passage means so much to me because I am a worrier. I spent 27 years in the United States Navy, and I kept a journal for that entire 27-year period. And at least seven times during that 27 years, I wrote in my journal, this is a career-ending move that you have made today. You've done some things that have ended your upward mobility. Seven times in a 27-year career. And the interesting thing is, 99% of the things I worried about never happened. Jesus does not want you and me to be filled with worry. So I'd like for us to look at what worry is, what it is not, why we shouldn't worry, and then I'd like for us to look at some principles for winning over worry. Now, what worry is not? Worry is not planning for your future. You need to plan for your future. And simply because you're looking ahead and anticipating challenges does not mean that you are worrying. Secondly, worry is not taking precautions. Jesus said, "Which of you about to build a building does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he or she is able to finish or not?" So planning is not worry. Taking precautions is not worry. What then is worry? Worry is mental distress or agitation resulting from concern about something that is usually impending. Last week, there were many on Capitol Hill who were worried about the impending shutdown of the federal government. And that is something that governmental workers and other Americans certainly should worry about. There was mental agitation. There was distress. But I am convinced that even with something as ominous as a government shutdown, God does not want you and me to worry. He wants us to learn how to win over worry. Why should we win over worry? Because worry accomplishes absolutely nothing. I think of the time I've wasted in my life worrying about things that would never happen. So why worry? Secondly, we should not worry because worry puts our focus on the wrong thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the children of Israel were in the valley of Elah. They were worried about a giant by the name of Goliath. They were focusing on the size of that giant. What giant in your life is causing you to worry? What gargantuan problem is causing you to lose heart? David arrived on the battlefield and he did not focus on the greatness of Goliath. He instead focused on the power of his God. Worry causes you to focus on the wrong thing. Why should we not worry? We should not worry because it is the opposite of trusting God. In fact, we dishonor God when we worry. He has promised you and me in Philippians 4:19 to supply all of our needs. And when we behave as if we are the ones responsible for supplying our needs instead of the omnipotent God of the universe, we're dishonoring God. It is dishonoring to worry about the things that God has promised to do for us. Number four, we should not worry because, quite frankly, worry is not good for your health. Worry can weaken your immune system. Worry can cause you sleepless nights. That is why the Bible says in Proverbs 12 that encouraging words cheer the heart. We must win over worry. So how do we do it? The first thing that we must do if we're going to win over worry, I believe, is to encourage others. Become an encourager. Someone said, "I felt sorry for myself because I had no shoes until I met the man who had no feet." And so we have here, encourage others as the first step if you are going to win over worry. The great apostle Paul was in a ship caught in a storm, in Acts chapter 27. The people were so filled with mental agitation and distress about an impending shipwreck that they had not eaten anything for 2 solid weeks. The weather was so bad that they couldn't navigate by the celestial bodies. The Bible says they had seen neither sun nor moon nor stars for 2 weeks, fasting and experiencing mental agitation and distress. When suddenly a mighty encourager stood in their midst. And the Apostle Paul said to them, "A man stood by me in the night season and said, there will not be loss of a single life aboard this ship. He said, eat something. You're going to need it for the difficulties ahead. And then he took bread and blessed it and ate, and they followed his example. There were more than 270 people aboard that ship, but Paul encouraged them. And when the ship ran aground and was wrecked, the great apostle Paul said, those of you who can swim, make it to shore by swimming. But those of you who cannot swim, hang on to the broken pieces of the vessel. Sometimes, my friends, in order for you to survive, you must hang on to life's broken pieces. But they all got to shore safely, and they were able to win over worry because the Apostle Paul encouraged others. There's a second thing that you must do if you are going to win over worry, and that is to fear God and hate evil. And when I talk about fearing God, I am talking about reverential awe. I am talking about reverence for God. That is what we need if we are to win over worry. Fear God and hate evil. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverential awe, respect for God. Why is this reverence so important? Because in order to receive the blessings of God, we must obey him. The 5th Psalm, verse 12 says, the righteous are surrounded with the shield of God's favor. And if you want the favor of God, you must walk in the will of God. That is where reverential awe comes in. The fear of the Lord, says Scripture, is the beginning of wisdom. When Moses encountered God at the burning bush, the sovereign God of the universe said to him, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. God is not your buddy. God is not the man upstairs. He is the sovereign superintendent of the universe. Take off your shoes, Moses, for you are standing on holy ground. In other words, Moses, you need reverential awe. If you are going to serve God, you must take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. There is a third thing that you must do if you are going to win over worry, and that is to seek God's deliverance. He is a God who is eager to deliver you and me from our mental agitation and distress. So often, we turn to him in our difficulties as the last option, when he should be our first option. Romans chapter 10 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, so many times I have called on him in my life, and he has heard my cry. Seek God's deliverance. He is still in the delivering business. He is still able to extricate you from your predicament. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. You must seek God's deliverance. And when you seek him, the Bible says you will find him when you have searched for him with all your heart. Intensity matters. Seek him with all your heart. But there is a fourth thing that you must do if you are to win over worry, and that is pray with thanksgiving. I love Philippians 4:6-7. Have no anxiety about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. When you are worried, there is a power in praising God for the things he's already done for you. Let thanksgiving provide the incense which will cause your prayers to ascend to God with a sweet savor. Pray with thanksgiving. And the promise is that the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. One of the great stories of Scripture is found in Daniel chapter 6. It is the familiar story of Daniel in the lion's den. You will remember Daniel had received such favor from God that he had enemies. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all those who live godly will suffer persecution. Daniel's enemies put private detectives on his trail. They followed him around to see if they could catch him doing something wrong. But Daniel lived such a holy life, such a righteous life, that the only way they could trap him was regarding his relationship to God. They saw that he prayed 3 times a day. And so they had the king make a law that you could not pray to anyone but the king for a certain number of days. Daniel did not permit this law to cause him mental distress and agitation. Instead, the Bible says in verse 10 of Daniel 6, that when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his prayer chamber. He opened up the shutters just as he had always done. I would have probably kept them closed and prayed in my heart. And the Bible says he prayed and gave thanks, hallelujah, and gave thanks to God. Now, here is a man doing something that he knows will place him in a den of ravenous lions. And yet, in the very act of breaking the law of the king, he gives thanks to God. Isn't that awesome? What challenge are you facing that you bring to God without thanksgiving? One of the most powerful ways of winning over worry is to pray with thanksgiving. Sometimes when I'm jogging, I like to just thank God for the entire jog. Thank him throughout the entire jog. And I tell you, when I'm going up hills, thanksgiving automatically takes place during my jog. Learn how to bathe your prayers with thanksgiving. Our blessed Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. He gave thanks to God. Now here he is, about to go to Gethsemane and about to go to Calvary. And yet, he gives thanks to the Father. If Jesus could pray with thanksgiving on the night in which he was betrayed, if Jesus could pray with thanksgiving as he heads toward Golgotha, oh, my friends, win over worry by learning to count your blessings and to pray with thanksgiving as Daniel did and as Jesus did. Finally, if you are going to win over worry, you must take that fifth step, which is to resist the spirit of worry. We must learn how to fight against the spirit of worry. T.D. Jakes tells the story of being with a minister friend of his, and while they were in another city, someone vandalized this minister's church. And Jakes said this minister received a call on his cell phone, and he answered the call, and it was someone telling him that his church had been vandalized. And Jakes could hear the conversation going on, and the person on one end of the line told him about the windows that were broken, and his friend said, "What? What?" He told him about the public address system that had been stolen. "What?" The friend said, "What?" He told him about the other things that had been taken from the church, and his friend just kept saying, "What? What?" And then he hung up the phone, and he turned to T.D. Jakes, and he said, "I think I'm going to go and get some grapes from that market down the street." And Jake said, he said to his friend, "How in the world can you be thinking about getting grapes after what has happened to your church?" And the man said, "I can't do anything about what happened in my church. I can't do anything about what has happened. And so, I'm just going to go get me some grapes." And Jake said, "Well, it must be the grapes." So he was going to get himself some grapes as well. What are you going through that you need to lighten up about? What difficulties are you dealing with that you need to know what you can do and what you cannot do? The Serenity Prayer declares, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." You can resist the spirit of worry. You can resist it because although you cannot control what will come at you, you can control what your response will be to what will come at you. Viktor Frankl, the father of logotherapy, used to lecture at the school where I studied psychology in San Diego, California. Frankl founded a school called logotherapy, which was based upon lessons he learned in a Nazi concentration camp. In that Nazi concentration camp, Frankl learned that though he could not control what happened to him, he could choose how he would respond to the worst atrocities a human being could perpetrate against another human. Frankl said, "Even though my enemy may be able to kill me, I choose how I will die. And I don't have to die cringing. I don't have to die cursing. As a child of God, I can resist the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune by choosing what my mindset will be and resisting the spirit of worry." Perhaps William Cullen Bryant was thinking about that. Our ability to choose how we will die when he said, "Approach your grave as one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams." My friend, win over worry. You may experience the mental agitation and the distress because of the challenges of these difficult times, but you can win over worry. And trust in God, amidst the greatest of difficulties, you will be able to, by His grace, plan, take precautions, but implement the 5 steps we have discussed today. Become an encourager. Encourage others. Have that reverential awe that will enable you to honor God and respect Him no matter what. Taking off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Seek His deliverance. He is still mighty to save. Let your prayers ascend on the wings of thanksgiving. And when the going is so difficult that you don't know what to do, know that you can choose your response. God grant you and me the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, the wisdom to know the difference, and when necessary, to just go and get some grapes. Win over worry.